Welcome to the next in the series of Journeying Through the Bible. And today we're going to be looking at the subject of strength and longevity. Another word for longevity is long life. Let's commit this teaching to the Lord. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for anointing this word and bringing fresh revelation. Thank you that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper in Yeshua's mighty name. Just pray your blessing upon this word and for rivers of living water just to flow and to refresh and to recharge any batteries, any spirit man that needs to be recharged today in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Right, I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 through to 15. This was Caleb speaking, and he says here, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to scout the land of Canaan, and I brought a report back to him as it was in my heart. My brothers, fellow spies, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God completely. So Moses swore an oath to me on that day, saying, Be assured that the land on which your foot has walked will be an inheritance to you and to your children always, because you have followed the Lord my God completely. And now look, the Lord has let me live, just as he said these 45 years since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now look at me, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now, for war and for going out and coming in. So now give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke that day. For you heard on that day that the giant like Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed him, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite to this day, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, completely. The name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, city of Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the giant-like Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Caleb was 40 years old when Moses sent him, alongside 11 other spies, one of which, of course, was Joshua, to scout out the land of Canaan. At the age of 85, Caleb said his strength was just as good as it was at the age of 40. And he didn't need to get treated with any medication. He didn't need to have his batteries recharged with any medicine or drugs or antibodies. Just as a sidetrack, I just want to mention something here. Graham and I were watching a video clip of, it was Donald Trump, the president of the United States, being interviewed by a TV interviewer. And it was his first public appearance after he had contracted the coronavirus, and he was just sharing how he had been greatly helped by a drug called Regeneron, and it was really a miracle antibody drug which had just rejuvenated him and cleared the, or helped his body to be able to fight the effects of the coronavirus, and it had just really strengthened him. And thank God for the medical profession. Thank God that this drug has been available and it has been made available in America to help people free of charge to help them combat the coronavirus. And so we thank God for the medical profession. This teaching is certainly not a criticism of the medical profession by any means. We thank God for them. But as always, we have to look at what God thinks and what He says from His Word on a subject. And as we look at the subject of strength and longevity, we're just going to be looking at a few pointers which I found were very valuable words of wisdom to apply to daily life. The Bible gives us the blueprint of how to apply truth to our lives in by having wisdom. And so let's just look at this portion of Scripture and see what we can glean from the Lord through and to make it applicable in our lives on a daily basis. The name Caleb actually means forcible in the Hebrew, which is very interesting. That is very name. Names are important. And his name actually means forcible. In more simple terms, vigorous and strong. So when Caleb said, "I am still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me, as my strength was then, so is my strength now." That very word strength in Hebrew is koach, K-O-W-A-C-H, and it means to be firm. It means vigor or physical strength and good health. So Caleb possessed strength, and his secret, I believe, was because he had a strong spirit of faith and not fear. He didn't succumb to, like the other spies, apart from Joshua, he didn't succumb to fear or doubt. And this was an essential ingredient to the recipe for his success and his ability to persevere and to take on that which rightfully belonged to him and to claim his land, the land and his inheritance which belonged to him and to his descendants. Now, in line with this, the spirit of faith or the strong spirit man that he had, let's look at a scripture which ties up with this particular thought. We're going to look at two scriptures here from Proverbs to start off with. Proverbs 12 verse 25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man weighs it down, but a good encouraging word makes it glad." The Hebrew word for anxiety is diegah, D-E-A-G-A-H, and it actually means fear, heaviness, or sorrow. The King James Version describes it even better, I think. It says it uses the expression makes the heart or the spirit man, where the word term heart is used, it refers to the human spirit. It says it makes the heart or the spirit stoop rather than weighs it down. Well, both of them have a similar, they're very similar in meaning. In other words, a spirit man where there's anxiety, where there's heaviness, where there's sorrow, where there's fear, it just weighs the spirit man down. It saps one of strength. So as opposed to the good word where it says here, where an encouraging word makes it glad. Now to explain this better, I'm just going to use an example of a counseling session that Graham and I had where a husband and wife came to us for counseling. And they had a problem that they were facing in their marriage, and the wife was very burdened down by anxiety concerning her husband, who had been caught in a compromising situation with another woman. And she was terribly upset at the time. And Graham, I remember, had a rhema word that had tied up with a vision for this couple, and the vision that he had just diffused the whole situation and brought reconciliation. The rhema word that God had given to him just applied wisdom to the situation and brought about reconciliation between husband and wife and healing, particularly in the wife's life. And so she was released of that burden that she'd been bearing, where her spirit had got hurt, and she had healing had started to take place in her life, and reconciliation. They were able to forgive one another, and reconciliation came because of that encouraging word which made the heart glad. Obviously, there was a lot more to the counseling situation, but I wanted to just use that as an illustration of where an encouragement, a word of encouragement from the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, just brings that place of healing and just lifting up the spirit man, as it were, where she was no longer bowed down and he was no longer bowed down. They were able to be lifted up in their countenances, in their spirit man. And it had an effect, obviously, on the body. If it had been left, it would have had very negative consequences, and it would have had negative consequences and their health, particularly the wife, her health would have been affected badly. So now, in line with this again, we see another scripture, Proverbs 14 verse 30, which says, "A calm and peaceful and tranquil heart is life and health to the body, but passion and envy are like rottenness to the bones." So now, the King James Version actually says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. So now the word for sound in Hebrew is marpe, M-A-R-P-E, and it means medicine, deliverance, healing. And it comes from the root word rapha, meaning to mend, to cure, to heal, repair, or make whole. So isn't this amazing how when we look into the root words, how God's word has been so beautifully, I mean, only God could, the word of God is so detailed and so profound and so magnificent that when we look and we search deep into the word of God, we see God's heart. We see his heart for healing the human spirit. And so it says a sound heart or a whole heart. A calm and peaceful and tranquil heart brings life and health to the body. But where there's envy, where there's jealousy, it actually brings rottenness to the bones. It has an effect. Where there's any form of jealousy, it actually has a negative, a very detrimental effect on the human body. And it has, where the spirit man is being affected by jealousy or negative unforgiveness, all of these terrible human emotions, it actually has a devastating effect on the physical body. But a sound heart, a healed heart, has a positive effect on the body. That's why it's so important for healing and deliverance and to be healed, where the human spirit is actually healed. Going back to Caleb, another reason for Caleb's strength, in addition to the spirit of faith that he had, where his spirit man was strong and his spirit man was fed with the spirit of God and the word of God, it was his success was, it said he had wholehearted devotion towards God. And the Bible repeatedly says that Caleb followed the Lord completely. In that chapter that we've just read in Joshua, it talked about he followed the Lord wholly. He followed the Lord completely. His heart was completely devoted to God. And there's another reference also found in Numbers 14 verse 24. So let's just go there and read it. It says there, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit with him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Caleb, along with Joshua, were the only two Israelites who entered the promised land from the original congregation who God led out of Egypt. And it was because Caleb, he followed the Lord God wholly. He followed him fully. He was fully devoted. He obeyed the Lord. He had a heart that was just passionate about the things of God. And as a result, God gave him his rich inheritance, because it was his heart attitude which was so devoted to the Lord that he wanted everything that God had for him and for his descendants, for his family line, as it were. And So we see here that Caleb knew what God had promised him, and therefore he took hold of his rightful inheritance. And it was this hope which I believe gave him strength to persevere and to overcome and to defeat the pagan inhabitants of Canaan. God had promised him Hebron as his inheritance, and the name Hebron formerly being Kirjath Arba, K-I-R-J-A-T-H, and Arba was the greatest man amongst the Anakim. In other words, the Anakim were the giants in the land, which had so intimidated the other spies, the 10 spies who'd come back with a bad report, a negative report. They had so intimidated those spies, but it didn't intimidate Joshua. And it's interesting to know that he was given this land. He was given Hebron. He was given the very same portion of land where the giants had lived, and particularly this giant that was known as Arba. Joshua also defeated giants, obviously, and inherited his portion of land. But Caleb, it specifically says here that this great giant called Arba, Caleb defeated and he overcame. And it was because he had this wholehearted devotion towards the Lord, and he had this hope in him. And another scripture that relates to this and talks about the human spirit, the human heart, is Proverbs 13 verse 12, which says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life." And so we see here that Caleb had hope. He had hope. He knew that he had been promised this rich inheritance. That's why it's so important for us as believers in Christ to know what our inheritance is in God and to be able to take hold of that, because it gives one hope. Now, where hope has been deferred, it makes the heart sick. Disappointments, a sense of hopelessness can shorten a person's lifespan significantly. And I want to give another example here, this time from my sister-in-law, who suffered from a terrible autoimmune disease known as lupus. Lupus actually means wolf. That's the meaning of this terrible, debilitating disease. It very nearly destroyed her life and her family because it was so devastating. And I just want to share this. I'm not going to go into details because obviously it would be confidential unless she were to share it herself in a testimony. But I just want to share what actually happened here, the testimony of what happened in her life, where she had got to a place where literally all hope had gone in her life. She was feeling totally hopeless. But being a born-again believer and having had a mother who worked for LL Ministries in Scotland, she's a counselor connected to LL Ministries, and obviously she was very concerned about her daughter, and her Debbie had tried everything. She had, being a nurse, she'd gone into the medical profession, she'd been very heavily addicted to drugs and medication. And I know she won't mind me sharing this part, this part of the of her testimony. This is not a problem, but basically she'd tried everything. She'd tried health products. She'd tried everything, but still she just couldn't get to why she had had this awful disease that was just literally eating away her body and destroying her physically. And then, to cut a long story short, her wonderful testimony was the Lord actually revealed to her through LL Ministries when she went over there with her mom, and the Lord healed her of the root issue where her spirit man had been damaged. And it's a wonderful testimony that she has, where the whole problem was that she had had been damaged as a child, and the Holy Spirit then healed her of the damage and set her free, delivered her. And why I'm using her as an example, well, she literally was hope deferred, and it makes the heart sick. Her physical body had just been so broken down, and now if you have to see her, she's just beautiful. Her physical body has been restored, and you can see the evidence of that restoration in her life, where she is just transformed from what she was and what she is now. I've literally seen it, a magnificent transformation. Why? It's because the physical body where she was damaged, had the Holy Spirit was able to heal the part that was damaged. And he does it uniquely with every person. But what is so important is to make oneself available for the healing of the human spirit to take place. And then there is physical evidence of that healing. You see, where the spirit man has been damaged, where the spirit man has been hurt, there will be physical effects. But when one makes oneself available and cries out to the Lord and says, Lord, bring healing. And there are aspects of this. Every situation is different depending on a person's life situation. But the most important thing is to say, Lord, bring healing to my spirit. And the Lord will bring healing because he wants people healed. And he wants the human spirit healed. I know that progressively I've had more and more healing of my spirit, and more freedom has come to me as a person as a result of that. But there are certain principles that are very important for that healing to take place. I just want to mention one of them is obviously speaking correctly, taking hold of scriptures which pertain to long life and to healing and to strength. I just want to give a few scriptures here. First of all, I think everybody knows Psalm 91, where the Bible says, I will rescue him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him. And then there's Psalm 103, verse 5. It says, he satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. That's what God wants to do. He wants to restore youth like the eagles. And then Deuteronomy 34 verse 7, it says, although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eyesight was not dim, nor his natural strength abated. Now that's a wonderful scripture for people like myself who wear glasses. It's a wonderful scripture to actually speak over our lives, over our eyesight, just to get the eyesight restored. You see, whenever we speak these scriptures, we are speaking to our spirit man. And what God actually does, the more we speak life, the more we speak health, the more we rejuvenate, our bodies are rejuvenated because our spirit man is being fed the vital ingredients of the Word of God. The more our spirit man is being fed the Word of God, the more there is a physical manifestation in our flesh, as it were. So speaking correctly is very important. Then there's Ephesians 6 verse 2, where this is a word for children. It's important to honor one's parents so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So speaking the words of life, taking scriptures and just speaking longevity and strength, these words just bring healing to the human spirit. And I mean, these scriptures bring healing. They feed the human spirit. And there is a manifestation in the physical body. And I can testify to that. And then obviously there are basic principles of wisdom from God, promises, the wisdom from God. You see, we have to obviously look after our bodies as well. And I just want to mention, and Graham and I, we're involved with a lot of spiritual warfare, and we have found that our diet needs to be rich in protein, because when there's spiritual warfare, there is that sense of strength being depleted. But and so we have found that it's very important for us to make sure that our diet has meat in it, a diet rich in meat, if at all possible. And you know, it's so important. So we make sure that, you know, I hear people say that they don't really have meat in their diet, and they use, you know, they supplement with other forms of protein. But just this is what we have found, that meat is a very important, a vital ingredient for strength, to have strength to apply to our daily lives. And I believe that is something that God has put in his word, because Yeshua, Jesus himself, he ate meat. He ate lamb. It was an important aspect in his life. So everybody is different, and we must get wisdom from God for our particular unique situations. But that is something that I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to mention. Maybe there are people, you've taken meat out of your diet, and I'm just encouraging you. I just feel the Lord is saying, make sure that you have some form of meat, because it will give you strength. And then lastly, I just want to mention in Exodus 33, verse 11, it speaks about Joshua, who died at the age of 110. And it says there, when he was a young man, it says that he did not leave the tent of meeting. And that is, I just want to mention that, because a vital ingredient to have strength and longevity is to be part of the body of Christ, to make sure that one is an integral part, belongs to the physical body of Christ, where one is able to receive the edification from the body of Christ, teaching from the body of Christ, training and equipping from the body of Christ, and, you know, just in relation to our Father's house, which is the local church that Graham has been given the authority by God to establish the blueprint in our Father's house, the blueprint of what church is supposed to be in accordance with the Word. And as I say there, you know, it's just an encouragement that it's so important to make sure that one is connected. Where there's disconnection, we've had situations where people have actually disconnected from us as a church, and they've had very negative situations that have taken place in their lives. So it's just a word of encouragement, wisdom. If we want to live a long life, if we want strength, if we want longevity, then there are certain principles. We see that Joshua led a long life, but he was connected to the congregation of Israel. And we need to make sure, whoever's listening to this word, if you don't belong to our Father's house, then make sure that you're connected to the local body of Christ, where God wants you to be rooted and grounded and trained and equipped, so that you can live that long life that God has promised in his word for us all to have. It is a vast subject. These are just a few pointers, which I believe the Holy Spirit has led me to share. And we pray that that these pointers will become evident in our lives, and that we will have wisdom and make sure that we have a healthy diet. God gives us all things richly to enjoy, but obviously we must use wisdom to make sure that our physical bodies are strong, and that we, most importantly, we feed our spirits with the Word of God, with the truth, and we have that spirit of faith. We have that that spirit of faith, and not allow fear to come in and to cause negative responses to the physical body. Amen.